Welcome to episode 30 of the Academica Vertex podcast. I'm your host Aditya, and as usual, I have my two co-hosts, Chris and Shiva, with me. And I mean, game week 33 is right upon us at this point, so we'll just dive straight into the topics to cover. So the first thing we're going to look basically at are the teams that double in this week. So seven teams double in game week 33. So the first thing we're going to discuss now is probably the players to pick from these sides. Secondly, we look at the teams that have single fixtures. I mean, players from these sides that we might need to pick or maybe just select, not omit. We'll also maybe look a bit on rotation because we have the UCL, Europa League and Conference League games now, and then also the FA Cup semi-final weekend. And then we'll move on to a bit on Doherty's replacements because he got unfortunately injured last game week. Then our combined free hit draft, the captaincy pick, and then we'll wind up this episode. So straight away, we'll go on to players to pick from the sides that double in this game week 33. We'll start with Manchester United because what happened last week was a bit, not of a surprise, but a bit of disappointment. So United play this week Norwich and Liverpool in this double game week 33. Although again on paper it feels like it should be an easy game, but again it feels like a trap, right, Shiva?
Yeah. I mean, directly we got into it without getting into any of the game week 32, and that's good because I didn't have that good of a game week. So 33. Yes, United are one of the teams definitely to target. But given that their results against Everton, it's really a point where if you really see them getting something from Norwich, I mean, obviously on paper, it's really good fixtures at home and Liverpool game is a bonus. But what do you really expect from that United team with that kind of game they played against Everton? I mean, what I'm looking at right now, without any chips, if I have to get any of the United assets, then I have to sell either one of my Spurs asset or maybe Salah, which I'm not gonna do. So yes, United players do tempt, like likes of Bruno Fernandes, if let's say Ronaldo is not starting Liverpool game or missing any one of the two games, then Bruno will be on penalties as well. So Bruno Fernandes is the only one I would think that he has an upside or it's worth going for. But apart from that, you know, only reason I would target United players is if I'm on a free hit. And if that's the case, then Bruno and maybe Sancho are the two players that I would look. Sancho, especially because in Liverpool game, we have been seeing Liverpool are giving the chances on their wings quite a lot. And definitely United are going to get a couple of chances in that game. And Sancho, he is nailed to start these games. And I think one-on-one battles against any of Robertson or Trent, he's playing against, and they are always up the field. I think he might get an goal or assist in the Liverpool game if United, you know, score in that game. So Sancho is definitely an outside punt, but if not him, then Bruno. The other player, obviously everybody's mind would go there, is Ronaldo. But I would think that now that Ralph knows that he is no longer to be coach for a long time, so he doesn't want to, you know, keep anyone happy for long. So I think he's going to go for false nine in that game, and Ronaldo probably is going to start from bench against Liverpool. So I don't expect him to start both games, so obviously that rules him out for my plans. Again, given the fact the kind of player he is, if he starts Norwich, he can, you know, make it worth his owners in that game itself. But I don't think he's someone that I'd look for. Just one quick point on Ronaldo. Did you guys see that incident after the Everton game? I think that incident was pretty bad. Obviously, he has apologized on Instagram. But do you think there is a chance that he might get banned, or like Premier League will look into that incident?
I think as far as I read, it was like the FAR looking into that issue, but I'm not sure. So I think we'll have to wait for a press update from Rangnick or a statement from United regarding that. So I think as of now, I think he might play, but we'll have to see if there is some sort of a briefing that has been done to the press.
Yeah. So I mean, these three are the obvious picks. Obviously, they have their pros and cons. And in defense, if you have to go, I think Telles has come out a good shout, because Shaw is, I think, going to miss a few weeks now, and Telles is, I think, nailed on to start both games. He's on set plays, corners, he's quite ahead in attack as well, open play compared to Wan-Bissaka. So he is a good punt, but again, only all the United players are punt, even Bruno, I would say, because you have to get rid of one of the other big hitters. So I'm not getting any as of now, unless something changes. But yeah, that's my thought.
So in brief, the three players to pick from United, according to you, are Bruno Fernandes, Ronaldo and Sancho, and then maybe Telles.
If I have to give the preference, then it will be Bruno first, Sancho second, Telles third and Ronaldo fourth.
Chris, your thoughts?
I already have Bruno. So yeah, I think if you're going to captain him and the free hit could be worth it. I brought him in last week against Everton, and obviously I did not captain him because I felt like there was too much to risk, and I knew that Everton could get a result out of that game. So I'm personally captaining Bruno this game week. Probably it's gonna be captaincy not based on the team form, to be honest. I'm just cashing in on the variance at this point. I remember the last double game week where I captained Bruno, where again, not really any signs of form, nothing really to say his player is going to bang, but I feel like it's a good opportunity to captain a player who plays against Norwich, a team that have no motivation, by the way, guys. They're completely, they can't do anything to escape relegation. I just think they might as well just go there and get thrashed by United. Believe it or not, I think that could happen.
Well, so they played Burnley and they beat Burnley, who have everything to play for. So yeah, I mean, I see what you mean, but yeah,
it's a weird because Burnley are Iron Man United. Let's be honest, Burnley are really our edge side. Norwich are quite decent at home. They can be quite decent at home. Let's phrase it that way. I just think in the Old Trafford, United, I just really hope that they pull their shit together and they do make a dominant performance. And I think I don't mind, hoping that happens and, cashing in. And I think the Liverpool game could be a tad different. I can see more goals for both sides rather than a straight-up 5-0 victory, because the pressure is really, really up there right now. And Liverpool also play in many competitions, so you have to count that too, as fatigue and all the factors that play a role in this. So to be honest, United do have only one competition to play, so they might as well just give everything. I don't think I'm gonna hold on Bruno any longer, but I think if I had to pick on free hit, I would agree, Sancho, Bruno, and I wouldn't really touch any other defender, even Ronaldo. Kane is too good. If you're considering selling Kane for Ronaldo, it's nonsense. Kane can easily score double digits against Brighton. So
yeah. So to briefly sum up, these are my thoughts at this point. I think Fernandes is, if you're on a free hit, definitely worth getting in. But if you're looking to use a free transfer again, I think you'll definitely have to transfer out one of the big guys like Salah. As just a placeholder at this point, just for the sake of mentioning transferring and getting in Bruno. Other than that, doesn't seem to be really enticing in terms of United assets, because they are very inconsistent, and also so far it looks like they're starting to wave their flag, saying the top four is gone, so we might as well just stop playing with intensity or with some sort of there's no drive, there's no motivation for them to play. It looks like they're least bothered. So I think there might be chances that some of the young guys might be given minutes to play now.
And that's the thing, right? So, I mean, we were kind of bullish on United assets in our game week 31 pod, right? Because they had some good fixtures to come up. They were clearly in top four race at that time. And 31, they had a game against Leicester, who we all thought like United would beat them. They didn't. And then Everton, everybody like got United assets thinking it's Everton, United gonna thrash Everton. So it's two games in a row when they had something to play for, they have not showed up. So now that top four is almost gone, now what is the reason for them to, being motivated and even beat Norwich? So that's what, that's why I'm just thinking, like, if they were not performing at that time, what had changed now? I mean, things are
perhaps
even worse.
A place in the team next season, new manager. If we count out Pogba and those guys who are probably going to leave the team I think there's many people who are going to fight for the place in the team, and I think that motivation remains maybe.
I mean, we can talk about United, that side of United, for hours, but I think my quick thought on that is, it's more like players want to get away from United starting 11 and maybe get away from United than players wanting to stay in. And I don't think, even on that aspect, I don't think any players, some of the players who are in there, like Bruno, he will be in the starting 11 anyway. He will be, Sancho will be in the starting 11 anyway under new manager. So I think those kind of players who are already in, they won't be going anywhere. But for others, I think they, most of the players would even want to, op would be open to go away on a transfer this summer. So I don't think, like, any aspect, footballing, non-footballing, on and off the pitch, I don't think United are the club to, look forward to at this moment.
Yep, so to sum up again, Fernandes, if you're on a free hit, get in. United's defense, absolutely woeful. They don't know what they're doing at this point. I mean, to be honest, right, it's not that enticing again, I would say, like getting in United assets. Like, even if you go with none of them, I think you're still in a good shape, I would say. So, might not need to waste transfer. That's what we feel at this point. Even last week, I did Salah to Fernandes, and I have to just laugh at this point. Nevertheless, I think if you can get in just for the sake of covering a United asset on a free transfer, maybe if you want, maybe I think as per the price bracket, Sancho would be the only one who will make sense rather than downgrading some of your big guys. I think we're talking more about a lot about Manchester United. We'll move on to Arsenal very quickly. We'll sum up everything later towards the end. Arsenal again, I
Yeah,
mean.
why are we talking about the teams which are not that optimal choices first? I mean, you want to get them away, because I'm waiting to talk about Newcastle and other
There is a
teams which
reason
are.
why I started this way, because let's say 2 3 weeks, I mean 2 weeks down the before, when these fixtures were announced, we all looked at these big teams as teams to target on our
Right.
free hits or free transfers. But now, as what I've been saying last time or even the episode before that, once we reach closer to that particular gaming itself is when we realize who's actually playing well, who has what to play for, who's playing with form and all those things. That's why I've picked up this big teams first, and then we'll move on to the smaller guys. So Arsenal, I mean, last week they did lose to Brighton. Arsenal, even though are kind of in the race for the top four, but their fixtures, they play, if I take a quick look, Southampton and Chelsea, not too easy games again. But as Shiva last time mentioned, Southampton are kind of, they're in the beach mode, Shiva. So what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, Southampton are in a look to be in a beach mode, but Arsenal, right? I mean, I think I mentioned maybe game week 28 or 29 pod that we did, that I expect Arsenal to do Arsenal sooner than later this season, I think, and they have done it 2 games in a row, right? I mean, they had everything to play for. They were leading in the top four race, and now I think mentally they have lost it to Spurs, looks like. I mean, the way Spurs are playing, the way Arsenal are playing, you have to be, a little bit you have to sympathize towards them, because they lost like Partey and Tierney, maybe two of their most important players in terms of team structure, and that really has affected them. I mean, in the game against Brighton, I first half, I think they really didn't know how to set up. Brighton were all over them, and Southampton fixture, although it looks good, the players to target are a bit strange for Arsenal. So Saka was in form, bang in form, like few game weeks back, and he was the first name on the team sheet even for the FPL perspective. I think if I remember correctly, when we talked about game week 33 captaincy way back in, like, future planning, I think Saka was one of the names in our list, right? But right now I don't think anybody is planning to captain Saka. So even players to target has changed in terms of Arsenal. But yeah, I mean, they have a double game with fixtures. We have seen what Southampton's can be even at home. So their game against Chelsea, we saw, like, the Chelsea were like, what, 6-0 up in 60 minutes, and all we thought about, okay, when he's going to get 9. So you never know, Arsenal still might hit few past them. And to talk in terms of players, I think I fancy Martinelli more than Saka for this double game week. Two reasons. One is, I think in the way Southampton play, I think the runners get quite a good chances against them, and Martinelli is something that I'm expecting that he'll get decent chances against Southampton, also against Chelsea, who will be maybe try to be on top and be in the position against Arsenal. The second reason is there have been a lot of talks. I've read quite a lot of Arsenal forums that fans, many fans want Lacazette to be dropped and they want Martinelli to play as number 9. What happened in last couple of games, I saw like Lacazette is their main creative threat apart from Odegaard, like dropping back and link up the play. But teams have marked Lacazette, and because he doesn't have pace, it's not really possible for him to get away from that marking. And he was kind of useless in last couple of games. So many fans want Lacazette to be dropped and maybe Martinelli can play as number 9. So even in that case, Martinelli becomes a lot better option as a out of position forward. So I would say Martinelli is my first choice. In terms of defense, obviously they have not looked good well, but Southampton being one of the teams, obviously you could go maybe one of their defenders, but I wouldn't double up necessarily. So Saka has a high ownership, so if you are worried about EO and stuff, then maybe you can think about Saka as well. But apart from Martinelli and Saka and probably one defensive asset, maybe Ramsdale for the save points, I think those would be the only I would consider. I mean, as you said, Aditya, right? How things have changed. Like, we were all bullish on Arsenal, and two results later, it's a double game week, and I'm not feeling confident about Arsenal. I mean, right at this point in my team, my bus team, captaincy is on Nick Pope ahead of Saka. That's the kind of that's the kind of confidence I have on Arsenal this time. So, Chris, do you have any? Are you more bullish on Arsenal than me?
I agree. I totally get what you're feeling right now with Arsenal, because I do feel like they've lost the mental part of the top four race. I feel Spurs are in such a good position. The vibe within the team just feels, they feel so motivated. They feel so, it's as if they just it's they stick they've stuck with each other, and they've managed to create a very fluid type of, they just the link ups, and I think the new signings have really, really managed to to integrate with the squad, and they've really adapted well to the league quite soon, in my opinion, and I think that's really helped them. And I think Arsenal right now are in a really bad place, and the double is not really attractive. Let's be honest, Southampton game is the only hope for me, and Southampton are a good side. Nevertheless, even though they might be on the beach, they might turn up. You never know. They've got good players, so I don't think Arsenal can do what Chelsea did, because Chelsea, let's be honest, Chelsea are a level above Arsenal at this point. Also with the injuries that they have, I just think Arsenal right now are in a really, really vulnerable place. I have Saka and Ramsdale, and I'm planning to bench boost, so I'm inevitably going to, play them and see what happens. But on a free hit, personally, I wouldn't love the idea of more than two maximum. And to be honest, defensively, I do not trust them one bit. I'd rather go with double Newcastle defense, to be honest with you. But yeah, I do have Ramsdale, and I'm gonna hope he gets some save points. But yeah, Saka for me, Martinelli, as you said, is a really good pick. Apart from that, I really, really don't like them.
Well, so in short, it's either Saka Martinelli, or if you want to cover another asset, it's Ramsdale or one of the defensive guys, whoever is fit enough to play. So that is with regards to Arsenal. Next, we will move on to Leicester. And Leicester, although they play in the Conference League against Eindhoven, so that tie is, I think it's basically it's a nil-nil, right? So that game has to be won by Leicester if they want to move ahead. And they play Newcastle and Everton in this double game week 33. So everything more or less rests upon the Conference League's result. Based on that, we will see who is basically going to start, who is going to get benched, and rotation and all is going to hit. But overall, if we ignore the fact of rotation, who would be probably the players that we should maybe probably target?
So the first thing that came to my mind, looking at the last game's lineup for Leicester, Barnes was benched and Maddison played last game. So I think if you look into how the fixtures are lined up, if this Thursday Leicester are going to start with their strongest 11, and they might even have to play 120 minutes, if there is no goal in that game. So that Thursday night can be very tiresome for Leicester. And then Maddison, having played almost full game last time, plus the midweek game, I think it's probably his turn to get rested in the first of the double game weeks, like game against Newcastle. So I think that makes Barnes a little bit more safer, more safe to start both games, Newcastle and Everton. So Barnes would be someone I would think first. So like I have Rafinha, and I always thought of getting one of Barnes and Maddison for him this week. And I was on Maddison the way things were moving in terms of his form and goal scoring. But because he started last game and he's going to start most probably on Thursday, I think that puts him on a decent risk of getting benched in the one of the two double game week games. So that's why I think Barnes is the one that I'm looking for. Apart from Barnes and Maddison, I think the only other player I would look at in your starting 11 is Iheanacho, because I think Vardy being ruled out now for long, I don't think Daka is a first choice. And Iheanacho can, maybe he will not play 90 minutes, but he might start both those games and maybe, you know, play 60, 70. And the kind of opponents they have, I mean, there is a good chance that, you know, Leicester can score a few past them. So, I mean, these three are the, you know, Barnes, Maddison and Iheanacho are probably the starting 11 players. But the new, you know, new 4.5 midfielder everybody is talking about is Dewsbury Hall. So I think he's one where, especially if you are going to bench boost, I think Chris said that you're going to bench boost, and he's like a good enabler in terms of he probably is going to start both, because I think he's key the way they play. And if he starts both, I think he was also a little bit advanced in last few games. But I wouldn't necessarily start him, you know, in your playing 11. So that's why I said, like, only if you have bench boost, that's when you probably would want to get him. But yeah, I mean, those four are the ones that I would target depending on the situation and your team structure. Defenders, I wouldn't really go in there. If you have a plan transfer for keeper, then Schmeichel definitely is a good option. But I don't think, I mean, all of us have either one of Ramsdale or Dubravka or, you know, Nick Pope. So all of them have a double game week. So I don't think that many people would be looking for a goalkeeper transfer. But if you do, Schmeichel is definitely a good option.
Really, you stole my point on Dewsbury Hall, because I think he's a really, really good bench boost pick, but nothing much more than that. I do think if you don't have a wild card or a free hit, I think he's quite a good option. So you don't really have, you've got a nice enabler there, and that can free up money, because I feel like we're gonna need the money to load on some heavy hitters or even higher priced players like Jota, Havertz, Foden, or even, you know, at that price point where you're gonna need to have a bit more than usual. So I think a 4.4 player who is likely to play most of Leicester's games, I think he has the lesser chance of, you know, being rotated week in, week out, because we know there are players that we mentioned. Barnes, he's carefully managed, I think, after that long-term injury. I don't think they want to risk him up to, like, by overloading him. Madison, we know he's made of glass. So I think, in a nutshell, I mean, you never know if Dak is gonna start, but I think he's the next best. In terms of rotation, I think he might be the next best after Dewsbury Hall. But for 4.4 million, which I think is 4.4 instead of what you said before, I'm not sure. But I think for the price, I do believe he's gonna be a really, really good value option. And in my free hit, I'm really, really looking at him. I'm like, I think he's gonna be a really, really key player to manage for me, manage to have a nice bench boost, which would not really hinder my starting 11 for the rest of the season, because I do not have any other chiefs. So I think my situation fits perfectly.
Okay, so in short, again to sum up Leicester, it's either Barnes or Maddison, depending on what is the result and who plays how many minutes in the Conference League, and then Iheanacho if you want to take a punt. Defensive wise, I think as Shiva rightly hit, Schmeichel is better because we don't know which of the fullbacks is going to start because it's a confusion there. And I think Dewsbury Hall is probably a good asset in terms of if you're bench boosting or you need a cheap asset. on the bench, who's just priced 4.4. So the next team we'll move on to is what you want to talk is Newcastle. Newcastle play both their games in this double game week at home at St. James Park. So they play Leicester and Crystal Palace, and the hype for Newcastle is starting to build up, right? They're starting to kind of display good performances. Defensively, they are looking a bit stable, not shaky. So which are the players that we need to pick? Obviously, Fabian Schär's train has just left the station, I think. So which are the other options?
Yeah, I mean, it's funny, right? Like the game week, double game week, where the likes of Arsenal, Leicester are and United are doubling. I think Newcastle probably on paper and on form are the best team to target in double game week. I mean, it feels funny, but I think that's it. And you know, one more reason, if you look at their both games, obviously both games are, you know, decent in terms of fixture difficulty, both are at home, but the teams that they are playing are Leicester and Crystal Palace. So Leicester are going to play game on Thursday, and Crystal Palace are going to play their semi-final again on the weekend. So both those teams could be tired, like, and would have played the important game just, you know, within last 72 hours, and I think that can be very advantageous for Newcastle assets. So that is one of the reasons, as much as it sounds mad to, you know, go for double Newcastle defense, if I were on free hit, I would definitely target something like Debravka and, you know, one of Schär and Burn. So yeah, I mean, starting with the defensive assets, definitely, I think those are the three that I would definitely look at. Target is someone also, I think that can come good, but I'm again not sure. I don't know, I may be wrong, but I heard somewhere that because Luca Dean is now out for the season, Aston Villa are thinking about cutting short Target's loan. Do you know any truth in that news? No? I mean, maybe we can look up and find out. But if that's the case, obviously you don't want to take that risk. But yeah, I mean, Fabian Schär at 4.4, he has quite a decent attacking threat. So what more you want? In the midfield, you know, I think it's like you have options, but none really good. I think Fraser is injured. Willock has been, you know, bit on and off this season. I think Bruno Guimarães, he has looked really good in last few games, but you know, more in terms of his footballing qualities than the FPL terms. So I really wouldn't go in any of the midfielders, but in forward, I think Saint-Maximin and Wood are both great shouts. In terms of stats, Wood has not that much shown, you know, that like he's that good of an asset, but he is confirmed on penalties as per last week, and he got his first home goal to home fixtures to come in, so definitely there is a chance for it. But for me, if I had to pick one, I think I would pick Saint-Maximin. I think he's a fun pick as well. He's always involved. He, when he's fit, he'll play 90 minutes, and he's quite a good player when he's on it. So I think he would be my number one target. If I were on free hit, and if I don't, you know, want to go on double defense, with the lack of quality forwards we all have been talking about for weeks now, I wouldn't roll out going with, you know, double up on of Saint-Maximin and Wood. If you consider they have two home games and both of them are nailed to start those games, I think that would be a really good shout. So if you are on free hit, I think Saint-Maximin and Wood double is my punt pick for you.
Chris, quickly, the picks that you would suggest?
Yeah, I think along the same lines, I have Dubravka, and I'm considering to double up in the defense. The stats have been really good, guys. I think they have the third best XG conceded in the last few games behind City and Liverpool. I think that says a lot. And if you've seen the games, they seem much more compact. Against Chelsea, I don't think we would have broken them down if it wasn't for that Havertz brilliance. So I think double defense would be really nice, and also they're really cheap, so you can stick them to your bench for the rest of the season, and if you have a wild card, even better, you can just get rid of them. They also have Norwich next, but yeah, I wouldn't go for the attackers. I have Fraser, but he's injured, so I think I'm gonna stick to the defense, and I'm not really inclined to switch any of my players for Wood or Saint-Maximin. So I think, yeah, every hit, you could punt on one of them for sure, but I'll go double defense instead, and maybe punt on the strikers.
I, I have a question for you guys because this is something I have been thinking myself. Weghorst has been awful, right? Last couple of game weeks, and he was hauled off before 60th minute. And there are talks of, Vidra getting a start ahead of him. So if you are on Weghorst, would you take a minus four to get one of the Saint-Maximin or Wood this game week? Because Newcastle also have a fixture against Norwich in game week 34. So next three that you are looking at is Leicester home, Crystal Palace home, and Norwich. So could you do that move?
I'll be honest, Newcastle are a better team than Burnley currently, so even though the fixtures get a bit rough afterwards, I think that they could still score in those games. I wouldn't be definitely against it, to be honest, but I think individually, Saint-Maximin is really a risk with injuries, and Wood has also been quite bad. So it's really a really weird situation. So I personally am gonna ride with Weghorst. I don't know, Aditya, do you own Weghorst too?
Yeah, and it is really hard, right? I mean, even with the defense. So if I talk about my team, I have a Doherty, so I have to sell him sooner or later. So if I, let's say, sell him right now on minus four to get, say, Fabian Schär, still I'm having to bench Kulusevski for that. So you can't possibly justify that, right? So, I mean, even if you know, okay, Newcastle defenders are probably worth going for Doherty, if that is making you bench Kulusevski, I think that's not a valid option. So I think in this double game week is very unique in a way that any chance that you're going to take with the good double game week players, you are probably have to sacrificing something which you may not in other day. So I think it's tricky. So right now I'm just choosing to let go all the United and Newcastle temptations that I have and just stick to my guns.
So, in short, to sum up Newcastle, double defense is something ideal on a free hit if you want. So, that's basically Dubravka as a goalkeeper, or two defenders like Fabian Schär or Dan Burn. And then in the attack, if you want, you have Wood or Saint Max. So, talking from one, let's say, moving from one former Burnley striker to the Burnley current striker, Wout Weghorst. Burnley again, I think. It was something that we all got very excited, and we boarded the train, and that train never started. It just stood in the station itself, never left.
Yeah, I think that the train was abandoned somewhere.
Yes.
Yeah, it has for me. It has got to almost a point of embarrassment that I am holding Tarkowski and Pope. I'm still waiting for that bullet header from Tarkowski and that 11-pointer big game from Nick Pope. I hope this game week I'm going to go ahead with those two. The last chance. Again, I have a mad hope that West Ham might be tired from their European involvement in the midweek, and Burnley are now. I think this game week, I think it will decide Burnley's future. I mean, if they don't win at least one of their games, then I don't think they have any chance of staying up. So I think they will be up for it. This is do or die for them. I'm hoping they get at least one clean sheet somehow. I'm okay with any shithousery, but yeah, I'm hoping like at least they get one clean sheet. So again, if I look at the floor, we were talking about captaincy, right? The reason why I have it on Nick Pope right now is because of that. Like, I'm expecting some saves from him, maybe a clean sheet. So yeah, I'm going to stick with them. But obviously, for any free hitters, any new buyers with free transfer, you wouldn't probably possibly suggest any Burnley player. I mean, maybe Nick Pope if you're looking for a keeper again, but no Burnley players for me.
Yeah, I think I have to agree here. I just, if you don't really own them, stay away for your own sake, please.
Yes, so stay away from Burnley. But if you're on a free hit, maybe just get in
Yeah,
Pope if
one.
you want.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
Get
I
him.
got in Connor Roberts 2 weeks back, and Lawton, I think, started the game last game week, and I think it looks like Roberts might have, well, lost his place. So I'm in a bit of a pickle here because I don't know what to do with Roberts and with Doherty also out. This is that's
Newcastle. Yes, you got to go for
double
them. If you
defense.
don't have a pl yeah, if you don't have a playing defender, yeah, Newcastle are the obvious choice, I think.
I was thinking of maybe just getting rid of Doherty for Cancio now only, and getting Cancio right away now, because that is something which we have to do. Maybe if we are using a free hit, fine, but something I need to just think for a bit. So Burnley is done. The topic is over. I mean, in short, this is kind of a make or break game week for them. So if they really want to stay, this is the week where they have to put up their performances, or else they're going down. So the next team is I think we didn't cover Southampton. We just spoke about them, but they also do have a double. And if I look quickly, they play Arsenal and Burnley. So they have to do us favor. It's like Southampton, we are expecting some help from them, but also expecting something also from them. So
I just realized that I have Broya, and I
me
had
too.
forgotten about him. And obviously, with the double game week, you have to back him and start him. Obviously, I'm going to start him, but I just realized that okay, Broya
Four
is
points.
someone, yeah, 4 point. I mean, at this point, it has come, with this Weghorst stuff, right? Everybody's saying okay, 4 point is not bad return, but he's not even giving 4 points in double game week. He's getting, yeah, whenever he's getting more than 60 minutes, he's getting booked or he's getting hauled off before 60 minutes. So yeah, but yeah, Broya, obviously Broya and Adams are some, if you really want to go someone, because Southampton are a team where you can actually target one of their attackers, because they play Burnley as one of their games. So definitely, if you have a place for striker, or if you're already holding Broya or Shea Adams, I think it's definitely case to hold them. Ward-Prowse is again, someone like he always comes into discussions when there is a double game week, right? So I wouldn't recommend buying him, but these are just picks, if you are on the free
The
hit, if you
FPL
are
website
in.
did. They recommend buying Ward-Prowse. He's the highest sense player. So that's a good argument for you
Yeah,
guys.
I mean, if you look at his double game week record on set plays and all, and how Arsenal, they have a way of considering penalties and set plays goals. So I think he can be a good shout. Defense, definitely I would not go, because if Southampton are really on the beach and they put up a similar performance and concede 9, because I have to say this, the defenders might take you even in a negative point. So definitely wouldn't go
Yeah,
defense.
never.
It's like in the last segment we spoke about Pope keeping a clean sheet in one of these games, and now we are expecting Broha to score. I mean,
So
what do we expect?
yeah, so here is
Nothing
his
really.
hope, right? If Southampton have to score against Burnley, it better be Broya.
It
Maybe
won't
let's
be.
put it
I'm
that
sure
way.
it won't be. Yeah. We have to keep the expectations low so we don't really get disappointed anymore.
So when Shiva said that pick Ward-Prowse, so Ward-Prowse takes a penalty against Burnley, Pope saves it, and Broha scores a goal. We are basically writing and
That's a
hoping
dream,
for.
guys.
I mean,
Yeah, so I think if you have
how
Broha, just
about
stick with
this?
him.
How about this? James Ward-Prowse takes a penalty, Pope saves it, and rebound falls to Broya, and he scores. Everybody wins.
It is quite a nice outcome. I do not have Pope, but I think you've become miserable enough when you own him. So I would like to see you smile after that. Yeah, so I think to sum up, I think you just stick with Broha because everybody owns him, and I think many have forgot about him because he's doing fuck all. It's been like how many games has he gone without doing anything? It's countless games. So I
I
just
think the last time he scored, that was in cup game, I think, against West Ham. So even like
yeah.
last scoring memory I have of him is also in a cup game. So I don't even remember when he last scored in the Premier League game. Yeah.
So the last time that Broha scored more than 2 points in FPL was in game week 24. That was against Tottenham.
Yeah, I'm so pretty sure like most of his owners benched him in that game because they were playing
Yeah, I
Tottenham.
think he was on my first sub or something. Okay, anyway, so I think if you're on a free hit, maybe Che Adams might be the better shout than Broha. If not, I mean, those who wildcarded in 28, 26 and all, we have Broha, so we are just hoping something happens. And the last team that doubles in 33 is Brighton, who I think after 2-3 games of not scoring managed to score 2 against Arsenal. Although they are fixtures are definitely not that kind because they play, I think,
Cannot get worse. You cannot get any worse double game week.
yeah. So that's Tottenham and Man City. So do we cover this or not? It's gone to that point.
Yeah, let's cover in one sentence. Don't buy Brighton players.
I think Chris definitely agrees to that.
Yeah, I wouldn't be a fan of him.
Then imagine Trossard hauls in both games. It would be.
Who cares even if he hauls? Nobody owns him. Brighton are not going to. They are going to be on the beach soon again
I
after
remember
a
last
couple
year,
of
right? It
big
was
games.
last
So
year in
who
one of
cares?
these blank game weeks is when Trossard had a double game week and almost half of the community got him on the free hit. They went triple Brighton and they captained Trossard and all. Something which happened, I think it was last season's game week
It
31.
happens. This is the time of the FPL where you make memories. Maybe good or bad, but this is the time.
It's the part where you just captain Antonio against
Yeah.
Norwich.
He is
Oh
he,
yeah, yeah.
every episode Chris has to get this in.
It has been a long time since I mentioned it, so I'm gonna flex it again because I just need to feel good about myself.
Okay, so I think we have indeed covered up this players to pick from the seven teams that double in game week 33. Now we'll move on to teams that have single fixtures. Obviously, I think the biggest names would be players from Liverpool and Man City. Obviously, we'll have Trent, we'll have Salah, we'll have Cancelo, KDB and all. So, in if you're on a free hit, even Spurs assets, mind you, they've picked up form, so I missed it out. So, if you're on a free hit, which are the probable players you would like to pick from teams that have just single fixtures?
If I were on a free hit, honestly, I wouldn't go for any of the Liverpool players just because they have one game and that's against United. Looking at how Liverpool are giving up chances, I am expecting United to score in that game, not win or not getting anything out of that game, but scoring a goal. So definitely, I won't invest my budget or waste my budget into Salah or Trent. Obviously, that's a huge risk, right? So that's why many people who are opting against using free hit this week is essentially because of this, that they have to bank against good double single game week players. But if you are, then I would definitely not. I will stay. Not stay away is not probably sounding it right, but I would risk not getting Liverpool players. I would risk not even getting Cancelo because, I think both City and Liverpool are playing their game after their semi-final, right? When they play against each other. So you never know. If let's say if Cancelo starts again in the cup game, then probably there is a chance that he might get a rest against Brighton. Not sure, but there is a chance. So obviously, I would stay away from City and Liverpool if I were on a free hit. But I would definitely have one of Kane and Son on the free hit just because. They are just playing one game in a week. They have everything to play for. They are looking really, really good. And Brighton, especially the way they play, they give away chances on the counter attack. And Spurs, even if somebody dominates them for 85 minutes and just give up two counter attacking openings, they are going to score two goals. They are that kind of in that kind of a form as of now. So I would get one of Son or Kane, depending on what is your structure, whether you are going for 3-5-2 or 4-5-1 based on that, but my preference would still be Kane and then Son for Spurs, and I wouldn't have any Liverpool or City assets.
This might sound a bit unpopular, but I think I would be inclined to own both. I think that's the differential nowadays because people struggle to fit in both, and with the lack of good options, I think, and that was. I don't think many players fill you with confidence. So I personally, in a free hit, I wouldn't mind the idea of trying to fit them both in. I'd rather have the combination of Kane and Son rather than two United assets, attackers, like per se, I think. I
Yeah,
think.
so I mean that's a good shout, but on only my only sorry, only my counterpoint to that is like if you are going to spend 20 million of your budget on single game week, then obviously you're going to lose one of the
Yeah,
maybe Bruno
definitely.
or obviously if you're getting Kane, you're not going to get Ronaldo, and then essentially it comes. So I started making a draft, right? So essentially it comes down to the point if you are going to have those Spurs players, and maybe some people are thinking the same way in Cancelo, right? Like, okay, I don't want to go without him. They are looking good. People are talking about going De Bruyne. So if you're going to do those moves, then maybe that's the reason why you should not probably free hit. You know, you can also look at it that way. But yeah, if you are able to fit both of them and still get nine good doublers, definitely, yeah, that's a good shout.
So I think we've kind of discussed in brief regarding players to pick or how to structure in terms of the amount of double gimmick players you can select in your free hit draft. So next thing which I want to cover very quickly is Doherty, since he got injured, unfortunately, was looking in good touch over the last few game weeks, and also it's kind of put us in a tough spot because we have to transfer him out as he's ruled out for the remainder of the season. So who do we probably jump on to? I mean, the direct replacement, if you look at Spurs itself, may be Emerson, but not that enticing, right, for the pick. So, I mean, for most of us that who transferred out, I think Cancelo, maybe transferring Doherty out for Cancelo, this might be the right time to do that move, get him in with the amount of doubles that we might see for City, neither 36 or 37. Depends when we are going to free hit, but if not, just to cover up, because City's next run of games also takes a turn.
Also, if Chelsea go out of Champions League today, then I think Reece James also becomes a good transfer because, yeah, he might miss a game, but if they're out of the Champions League, I think Reece James will start, you know, more than 90% of the games from here to end of the season. So he becomes a really good option if Chelsea go out of the Europe tonight.
Yeah, hopefully we don't, but yeah. FPL wise, I think it's going to benefit managers. And I think the schedule becomes a bit more clear. I think we might have it a dabble earlier. I
Yeah,
think there's
there
been
is a chance of getting double United versus Chelsea game
Chelsea,
moved to
yeah.
game week, yeah, 34. But I think the
35,
probability,
34. Yeah,
34 or
34, yeah.
35, but I think the probability is like less than 10% because of some TV rights. I mean,
Yeah, okay.
yeah, not sure about
Okay,
the
I see.
details, but I think because one of the Sky game has that, so yeah, that's the reason. But yeah, apart for Doherty replacement, otherwise, like you're going to need a Man City defender after game week 34, and if you're going to spend a transfer on defender replacing defender, yeah, you might as well get a Man City defender. The reason, I mean, Spurs have three replacements. You can actually replace him with the three Spurs wing backs. You would select Sessegnon or Reguilon or Emerson Royal, but they have their risk of own. I mean, Emerson Royal is really not that good of an attacker. So if he plays, then the person on the player on the left wing is going to be more attacking. So obviously that becomes him, you know, a lesser option. And Reguilon and Sessegnon, I mean, you never know who is the first choice. Like I mean, last time when both of them were fit, I think Reguilon was not the first choice. But if he is, he can be a really, really good option because he gets a lot of goal scoring opportunity and his XGI per 90 is really great when he starts the game. So those might be the outside picks, but again, no, none of those are nailed, and that's why probably many people are going to go outside Spurs if they're for a replacement of Doherty. So yeah, for me, Laporte, if you have a budget crunch, Laporte, Cancelo. Otherwise, if you want to keep an eye on Chelsea game, then Reece James. I think those would be my top three picks for Doherty replacement.
I think you forgot to mention Davies from Tottenham. I think he's pretty nailed. I do own him, so I think he doesn't have as much threat, but I think he has more threat than the other two CBs. So I think owning him has been pretty good so far for me. He's been starting consistently, and he also scored against Newcastle. So I think if you want to stay in Tottenham, Davies is not a bad shout for the price tag that he's on. But yeah, I do agree with you. City defenders, I think, moving early of them, I think they're gonna face less rotation. Cancelo, I think he's more safe than any attacker, because I think he's just a vital player at this point, and I think his physicality has, you know, we've seen him start so many games, so I think it won't be an issue for him. So yeah, I definitely agree with what you said before.
And one point I would like to add here is it really separates the two strategies, like if you have a wild card plan or not. So I think quite a few people have a planned wild card in 34 or 35, and for those people, I think the Doherty replacement is completely different topic. So like if I were in that position, then I would definitely look at getting one of the Newcastle assets or any
Yeah,
other
Newcastle
double game week
assets.
asset. for Doherty. But you know, someone who doesn't have wild card, I mean, if you are going to get Newcastle, then you soon have to transfer him out after 34. And if you don't have wild card, I think that is just one transfer you are booking for your defensive slot, which doesn't, you know, look too promising. So it really depends on what your strategy is. But in terms of free transfer, I think the Reece James and the City assets are the best choice that I think.
So I think we kind of summed up that topic well. We'll move on to the next one, is our kind of our combined free hit picks, the sort of the 11 players that we might fancy to get decent returns this game week. So I just kind of put off the names for the goalkeeper. So slot one ideally would be Dubravka, right?
Yeah, I would think so, yeah.
And then in defense, it will be Fabian Schär or Dan Burn. Then since you are in double game week, you might put Telles just for the sake of two fixtures, but you need to hope for the best. And the third one I have gone with actually is João Cancelo, just to cover the City player position there. And then two sort of fodder defenders who play. I think it is Cedric from Arsenal. I think he will play two fixtures. And then I have put in Amarte.
Yeah, I mean, those can change based on how much budget
yeah,
you have.
How much budget?
You know,
this
like
just
team
sort
value.
Of,
yeah.
You just put a structure. Then in midfield again, it's Fernandes. Then I've put Son. Then one of Madison or Barnes. And then it's again one of Saka or Martinelli. And then your fifth slot is a bit confusing for me. I have actually put Kulusevski. For a reason, because I don't have Kane in my front line here, just as a rough draft which I made very quickly. So my front line is actually front line is actually it's Wood, Adams and Ronaldo. So you need to figure who you're going to bench. That is the issue.
I think Adams has been playing really well lately. I think he's had some really nice stats, and he's been performing quite well. I think he's more nailed than Broha too. So I think on a free hit, you could be looking at him. I think it's a really good shot, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, in general, I think you mentioned all the right names there. But as I said, like if I were on a free hit and when I tried to do draft myself, I played 3-4-3, you know, unlike most. And I am going with front three of Kane, Wood and St. Max. As I said, like I would like to go with Newcastle double attack. And then at the back, I would go only Fabian Schär, and instead of De Bruyne, then probably one of Schmeichel or
Pope.
Yeah, both of those also have double game weeks. And then in the midfield, Bruno, both Madison and Barnes, and Martinelli ahead of Saka. I think it will become a case of, you know, 50-50 or, you know, luck. Whom you go with if you are only picking one of Madison and Barnes, and it may happen, like, you know, if you are picking one, the other might haul.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
when I'm on free hit and I have those kind of decisions to make, it's probably I probably choose to, you know, go with both. So that's why I think that Madison Barnes double and Wood and St. Max double, I think that gets you at least, like, out of those eight fixtures, at least that gets you maybe three hauls in that, which might be, you know, enough for their value. So that's what my feeling is at this point. Again, based on your structure, there is a case where, you know, if it allows you to upgrade, say, likes of Martinelli to Son. Let's say Son has a single game week and Martinelli, Saka, they have a double game week. But looking at the Spurs form and Arsenal form and the way Saka has been playing, you might think Son is a better option. But for me, I think Martinelli is going to start both games, and I think he'll be in my free hit team if I am free hitting.
Chris, do you want to add something very quickly?
Yeah, I think I like the idea of doubling on some areas of some teams pre-hit. So I don't think you do that often. You can try to find those areas where you can just do it for 1 week and then you'll never do it again. And the only worry for me would be minutes, especially for the Leicester guys. So I think you need to carefully follow the news and the game on Thursday to make such decisions. But I do like the thinking, and I think on a free hit you have a chance to do things that you wouldn't do normally. So I think you have to take advantage of the 1 week opportunity that you have. You know, I think that late in the season you need to take some gambles, and that would be my advice to anyone playing it.
So we've kind of mentioned our combined picks or some players that we would like to have in our free hit drafts. So last but not the least, we'll cover this segment. That's the captaincy options for this game week 33. And I think with 7 teams doubling, it kind of puts a differential captaincy pick for this week, because although I think the obvious name would be one of the United assets, that might be Fernandes because they are playing Norwich at home. But other than that, maybe you can also captain a Newcastle player or a Leicester player, right? In terms of, since you have to go different, right? At this point, right? You're using your free hit and all. So in that case,
I mean, Newcastle, if you really look at their fixtures, Leicester and Crystal Palace, both the teams are quite attacking. So even if like Newcastle might win those games, I expect those teams to score. So I definitely wouldn't go for Newcastle defender captaincy. And Wood and St. Max, as I said, like maybe one of them will get written, maybe both. So I mean, putting an armband, I really wouldn't be able to make up my mind. And I mean, it is like, you know, just a virtual coin toss. Leicester, maybe, you know, if, as I said, like if both Madison and Barnes start this midweek in Europe, then probably you would expect Barnes to play the double game week game, because he was rested last game week. So probably he becomes a good option. But apart from that, no one really. I mean that's why it's so close and it's so annoying that there is no clear-cut option apart from United. Obviously, if you have United players, Bruno or Ronaldo, they are number one captaincy choices. But apart from that, I think the next best options, actually, I mean,
Newcastle.
If you're being sensible, the next best options are Salah, Kane, and Son of single game weeks.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
obviously,
same,
you would you would want to go for double game week captains. And as I said, I might end up putting armband on Nick Pope, just hoping for a double game week high floor. But if you really want to, you know, go in the numbers and predict the results and play game that way, I think the next big captaincy option becomes single game week. So if I have to pick from double game weeks and Arsenal, as I said, I'm bullish on Martinelli. I think he's going to have a big say in the next few Arsenal games. So if you're going for Arsenal, I would prefer Martinelli captain ahead of Saka. I wouldn't go Lacazette because I think he might get dropped in one of the two games at least. And yeah, that's it. I mean, apart from that, I know nobody else is thinking about Nick Pope captaincy like me. But keepers in double game weeks, they are a little bit different, just because, you know, they can get save points, you know, add odd penalty save. And just if they end up getting one clean sheets where, you know, they are making a lot of saves, then you are looking at a big haul. So maybe if it is not clear-cut option, then maybe I'll just take my chance and captain Nick Pope.
Okay, so to wrap it up, sort of, it's Fernandes. Then you have your Leicester assets. And if you want the Newcastle guys. And then the single game week gang. So that's the City assets like KDB, players from Spurs like Son, Kane. So that pretty much, I think, covers up the captaincy, right?
Yeah. But one thing on free hit, which we may have left, one thing I just want to point out. If you're on a free hit, make sure you have a decent playing option on your first on your bench. Because if you're going to have single game week players like Salah, Trent, Cancelo, Laporte, De Bruyne, you never know. Brighton might be the game where Pep thinks it's time to rest them. So make sure you have a playing bench, first choice bench for the free hit. Yeah.
Yeah, since most of this team play in the midweek in the Champions League and then the semi-finals of the FA Cup, and then again they play in the Premier League in the midweek. So, I mean, it depends. Also, the title race sort of not decided yet, but it looks like City might just edge it over based on the result on Sunday. So, we'll see what happens with that in terms of the squad selections. We'll know it in game week 33. I mean, when City and Liverpool play their single games. So, Chris, do you want to add something before we finish it up?
Yeah, I do agree with everything. And I just think the lack of options and stuff will make the Bruno captaincy very easier for me. I think for most people who own or think to get, I think all this uncertainty and the lack of someone we can trust, really, who also has double game week, I think that makes me feel more confident about my decision if it goes wrong. I can't really see someone else an obvious pick, at least doing too well. So I think you should not be afraid to, try something out this game week, and I don't think we'll get punished. Fingers crossed.
Yeah,
Fingers crossed.
fingers crossed indeed. So that brings us to the end of episode 30 of the Academic Vertex podcast. Hope everyone, those who listen, get some information, and hopefully we are tinkering with your squads with regards to game week 33, getting in the players and hoping for the best. So do drop us a rating slash review on both Apple Podcasts and Spotify, and we will be back next week discussing how game week 33 went and looking at 34 and the game weeks ahead. So see you next week.